Good morning. Let's try it again. Good morning. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Tony Cervero. It is good to be here. And today is somewhat of an emotional day because we last week moved from Southern California to Philadelphia, the New Jersey side of that. And as I came back today for some stuff and then to preach today, I realized all day how special this body of Christ is. It's our family. It's open to. I love how you hunger after Jesus. This morning, you know why the Holy Spirit was so just there? It's because you opened your heart to Him and you opened your life so that He could come in. That's why we love this. I love the pastoral staff. We will miss Pastor Joe and his sermons, and Pastor Chris is always there to lift you up, and everyone on staff. And for you, we just want to say, June is not here today, but we want to say that we love you, and we will come back regularly. But you know, this week I'll be going back to Philadelphia Airport, and we're living in the Jersey side. So, you know what? That's where Italians go, so that's it. I just want to thank you and for the graciousness you guys, Pastor Chris, have always shown me. Let's get into the sermon. I don't want to talk about myself. Why don't you stand up with me and turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. It's a portion that Pastor Joe, he had asked me, and I think this is in sequence. Verse 10 is a story of when Jesus fed the 5,000. How many knew that story or read it before? I pray today that if something will come out of the scriptures that we will understand. Before I read it, I just want to make an observation. When you read this story, especially it's in all four gospels, and when you read it, you realize that the disciples were trying to manufacture an answer. They were trying to do something to bring the need and to meet the need. And what we see from Jesus is that he almost rejected what they did, and he simply then fed the 5,000 by breaking the bread and distributing the fish. And two fish and five loaves fed, it was 5,000. And they probably had a child, so 10,000 people. It's unbelievable, isn't that? And so they fed 15,000 people. You know how they did that? And it's the same thing you have to understand about how the Holy Spirit works in us. We are not called to be manufacturers. We are called to be distributors. So it may sound a little different than yours. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Now, what did they return from? They just returned because Jesus gave them power and authority. You know, I'll talk about this. Let me read it. I don't want you to stand while I'm here preaching. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Say the kingdom of God.
Kingdom of God.
That's word. And he healed those who needed what?
Healing.
If you see again, you see it's word, power. Word, power. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here and there's not even a McDonald's to get." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered,
We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I think it was John's gospel that said it was a little boy's lunch. We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food, again, here's their plotting. Unless we go and buy food for all the crowd, about 5,000 men were there. But he said to the disciples, have them sit in groups of about 50 each. The disciples did so, and everybody sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Say, broke them. You see, one of the major principles of being used by God is you have to be broken. Brokenness is an essential element to be used by God. Those fish could not be part of the miracle until Jesus broke them. And so in our lives, until we are broken, we're not ready for God to do something really powerful. Anyone say amen to that besides that one guy? And he replied, give them something. Oh, no, I have them down here. But he said to the disciples, have them sit in groups. The disciples did so, and everybody sat down, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were what? Satisfied. They all ate and were satisfied. Jesus not only supplies the need, he satisfies us. Amen to you that. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. How many disciples were there? How many baskets? Was Jesus sending a message? Yes. In the Greek, the word for miracle is semion. It's a special miracle. It's not the normal word. It's a word that means a miracle with a message, a miracle with a meaning. Father, take us to this place in our heart. May we see what is even underlying in this story that is included in all 4 Gospels. May we understand what you are asking us to become and to be. Lord, the Church of Jesus Christ has lost its power. We're good in word, but we just don't have the power that you promised for us. And so today, may you open our hearts and may we catch a glimpse that our capacity with you living in us is greater than what we are settling for. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Sorry for the long prayer, and my wife's not here. She would have been just to give me a signal to stop talking. One time I was at a place called PTL, Heritage Grand. The place with Jim Baker. They had asked me to come and speak at a conference. I was one of the national youth directors for the Assemblies of God. And I came there and I spoke. And they brought me the number 2 guy. He was the father of my roommate in college, Richard Dortch. And so when I flew in there the night before the event happened, they brought me to this beautiful, hotel, the Heritage Grand. And he said, this is your number. They gave me the key and I went to my room. My room wasn't any bigger than this carpet area right here. And I went in and it was nice and there were a couple doors there that were locked. I thought that could be the closet, but it's locked and it had, it had a couch, and there was a sofa bed in the couch, and then there was this real small bathroom over here that didn't have a shower, but it had a sink. And I said, that's great. I'm going to be on national TV with washing my hair in a sink. That's always a good thing. The next morning, Pastor Richard Dortch came and he picked me up and he walked in and he saw the couch was opened up and he said, "What in the world are you doing sleeping on a sofa bed?" I said, "Where was I supposed to sleep? The bathtub?" And he got the lady who was the cleaning lady. She came in and she unlocked the door, these two doors that were locked. And when she opened it, it was this luxurious, beautiful suite that had everything you could. There was a table full of food. And I had M&Ms the night before. And I'm standing there in this doorway. I don't know if I've ever even said this story, but standing in this doorway, and I'm looking at the suite, this beautiful suite, and I'm looking at where I stayed. There was a suite that was for me. It was given to me. And I settled by staying in the foyer of that room on a sofa bed. I wonder how many of us are settling for much less than what God has for us. Settling because we fully don't understand what He calls us to be and what He wants to be in our lives. I have a question for you. Do you believe in the supernatural? Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe for miracles? Do you believe in miracles that should be in your life? I have good news for you today. There's nothing wrong with your life that a miracle can't cure. But is a miracle all you and I need today? It is God that we need. And we can mix that up and mess that up if we don't understand the biblical principles that the Bible lays out when it comes to us trusting and looking for miracles, but us really going and trying to find God in that midst. Are you with me? You see, I really believe in miracles. I'm standing here because of God's miracle. I believe miracles because I believe in God. Remembering the angel's question to Abraham, is anything too hard for God? Another angel told Mary, is anything impossible with the Lord? These angels had a different perspective than you and I have. They live in the realm of God. They see God. And so when we talk about miracles, they looked at us and said, human beings, and they said, is anything too hard for God? Have you seen Him? Do you know Him? Do you understand Him? We have this part of our life somewhat messed up as far as Christians. You see, they understand the realm. I have heard some people reply, "Well, I don't believe in God, therefore I don't believe in miracles." But whoever says that believes that nothing times nobody equals everything. Not a very smart person. Because the doubter must believe that in the beginning the heavens and the earth created themselves and everything in it. They created themselves. They generated life spontaneous. Should such a person believe in such a colossal miracle? I believe that it takes more faith to believe what the denier of God being the Creator and the Father and the Lord of our lives. It takes more faith to believe that it just kind of exploded in a big bang and everything came together. That's the preposterous answer. But it's the very foundation that in education you're going to hear about. It is what is believed when they scoff about creationism. Creationism is actually laughed in the scientific field. I have a daughter at Cornell University who's in their medical school. And whenever she mentions God, they scoff at her and just put her down. And I said, Izzy, what are you going to do? She says, I'm going to go harder next time. That wasn't Izzy. That was Jesus and Izzy. The basis that I want you to see today, Tony Severo is not anointable by God. You aren't anointable by God. Sorry, don't be hurt. But the Jesus in Tony Severo is very anointable. And the Jesus in you is very anointable. And he wants to flow through us. But we're like a fuse. We can either let the Spirit of God flow through us and have that silver that's in a fuse so it can flow through and out of us. Or we can give it resistance and keep it down where we want it. Because we're doubting or because we're scared or fearful or haven't done this before. We worry about what people think. Are you worrying what people think and not experiencing that great sweet that God has for the Christians that live and are filled by it with God? Are you with me today? I know this is a tough discussion, but it's kind of one we all need to talk about. The story we talked about today was clearly Jesus set it up so that he could compare the disciples' manufacturing, the disciples' efforts versus God's way. And we need to learn that. You see, the other thing that you see in here is that they just got done healing all these people. They are pumped. Jesus gave them power and authority. Say power. Power. Authority. Paul said, I did not come to you with just power, but I came to you with power and the word. We have to understand the gospel lived out by spirit-filled believers must not only look for power, but also have the word. There is a balance there. We must understand that balance. It's throughout all the Bible. Acts 2 starts with arguably the greatest spiritual experience in the Bible. Pentecost. Power. But it ends with the disciples getting together and it said, and they continually gave themselves to Bible study and prayer, spiritual formation. Why? Because they understand from following Jesus that they had to have the word and power to be able to operate in the kingdom of God. How many want to operate in the kingdom of God? Not for just fun, but we're called to turn this town upside down for Jesus. We're called, when God starts moving, to do and see what he can do and what he wants to do. Because that is what the call of God is. You see, anyone that adopts the belief that there are no miracles and I don't believe in God, so I don't believe in miracles. Anyone who believes that should not pride himself on intelligence. The greatest minds have believed in a creator. Socrates believed in a creator. Galileo believed in a creator. John Newton believed that this world was created by God. It's not a bad list. Louis Pasteur, anyone know that name? Believed in a creator and a Lord over all creation. Albert Einstein believed that either everything is a miracle or nothing is a miracle. And he said, and I saw this in the building where he taught. I pastored in Princeton, New Jersey for 7 years. And in the building where he taught, he said, either, it's on the wall, either everything is a miracle or nothing is a miracle. And he goes on to say, as I have experienced in life, I believe everything is a miracle. Do you understand that means you can't look at your body without understanding you're a miracle? You can't see the healing. How many have ever been healed by something? By the Lord, I mean healed of something. You see, we are miracles in every way. But the greatest minds, they all did it. Werner von Braun believed in the supernatural power of God. It's impossible to believe in a God and not believe in miracles. Ignorance of God makes belief impossible. But knowing God makes unbelief impossible. So where do you sit? Because if you have unbelief that God can do something powerful and that he wants to, that means that you have the Spirit of God and that you know God. But knowing God makes unbelief impossible. Paul said this to Agrippa in Acts. Why should it be thought a thing was incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Well, why was it incredible when you saw God raise the dead? Paul was trying to say, God is God, and he does God stuff. And that means he is not restricted by the laws of nature. That's pretty heady stuff, right? Those who have problems with the possibility of miracles really have difficulty with the fact that there is a sovereign, infinite God. Because if you accept Genesis 1, in the beginning God created heavens and the earth. If you accept that, you have to have little difficulty in believing the possibilities of miracles. God spoke and the universe came into existence. Billions of galaxies spread across the black velvet of space. Planet Earth swung into space and began to teem with life. But it's unthinkable that the Creator, having made such an incredible place through his power, should subsequently be unable to move miraculously. And it is unthinkable to think he created all of this. He created you in every little detail, down to your blood type, to everything. He created you. And what makes you think that the God who created this world, created your house, created your body, would just stay away? He is on the scene at all time because he didn't make this creation for him to set us alone. He made this creation in such wondrous dimensions so that he can participate and understand and have relationship so that we can experience him, for him to know us and for us to know him. God is not bound by the laws of nature, because what man called the laws of nature are in truth the laws of God. It's nature that has to obey God. Yes, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. Some reply, well, I don't believe in God, therefore I don't believe in miracles. But whoever says that believes in nothing. The doubter must believe that the heavens and the earth created themselves. So do we have it settled? You believe in the supernatural? Do you believe in the supernatural in your life? It can be very frustrating having that kind of a situation where you need finances, you need healing, You need God to save your children, or to at least open the door so that we could know them and they can know Jesus, and we could lead them into that kind of a place. See, what do we mean when we say that the word supernatural? What does that mean? What does it mean when we use supernatural to describe God and His works? It means something above nature. Super actually means above when it's part of a word, when it's a prefix. So it's above the natural. So it is, if it supersedes. Supernatural means above nature. Describes how God works. It means God the sovereign is over nature, and He uses nature for His backdrop. So God still supernaturally heals the sick. We see that here when the disciples went out two by two, they gave the word and they healed the sick. Why? Because the Bible never has Christians, the disciples and Jesus, ever just speaking the word. Because the Bible makes it clear, I came to you not only in word, but word and in power. The word of God is empowered when it is coupled with the power of God. Well Pastor Tony, that's nice, but I don't have that kind of touch on my life. You can. How many would like that? You know, you have to be pretty serious to understand that and to let God to open your life. Remember, it says there, and He broke. There's a brokenness that He breaks us in these sinful areas, and He breaks us in the weak areas, and He breaks us so that we can be used. Because when He broke those fish, He then started multiplying them. When He broke the fish, He then was able to start just meeting it out. He was distributing. He wasn't manufacturing. He simply was distributing what God wants to do in this scene here. It was powerful. You see, God still supplies our needs. He fed the 5,000. God still moves in the affairs of man. God still supernaturally answers the prayers of His people. As God's people fight in spiritual warfare, God still conquers the enemy. God still breaks the bondages that have us in captivity. How many believe that? So if you believe it, there should be a searching and a yearning for something that we say we believe in the reality of it. Who would want to live with that when God already won the victory? Huh. You see, these statements are great. But there are people who have seen, and people even in this service, there are people who have seen the excesses and the manipulation and the frauds of the modern day. They are so afraid of wildfire that they have settled for no fire. Have you ever seen that? I've talked to a couple of people here. I'm not pointing it out to them. But they when they see something happening, they're uptight with it, and so they say, well, you know, that can't be God. Well, when the Spirit moves, how many believe something is probably going to happen in the physical and the spiritual? And so the body of the believers, it's never an easy transition to transition into the Spirit's moving in our services and our life. But it is an essential transition so that we can become someone who gives the gospel in word and in power. Again, how many want to have the word and power in your life? You see, we have some that they're so afraid to be disappointed. They're worried to get their faith up because they may not see God do something. Well, I would rather go for God. I can't even turn this page. Sorry about that. I would rather be disappointed and having trusted God than not even thinking and trusting God. Because there's something about trust that says He is able. Are you with me? How many want that to be in your... But see, if you pray that, even if He doesn't respond, I will guarantee you, sooner or later, something is going to open up. Something is going to take charge. And something is happening in your life. You praying for a miracle when He doesn't do it doesn't mean He's turning His back. He is working in some area of your life that isn't what you're praying for as far as that miracle. He's doing something, and that something is as miraculous as a miracle. I feel God sees that there are many hearts that are protecting their faith because you haven't seen the miracle that you prayed for. I feel God wants to restore the faith of people who have lost the zeal of their faith because you didn't have an answer to your prayers. Anyone say amen to that? Because a disappointed person is someone who is just weighed down and almost is impossible to move. The shame that comes there. God wants to restore the faith in this town, in this church. And God, and even greater, He wants the church to be the church. A supernatural body of believers filled with His Spirit. Many believers in God and not in miracles. That's the new age. They believe in God, but not in miracles. No, I'm sorry. New age believes in miracles and not the God and not God. Others believe in God and Jesus' miracle, but not for today. Still, others believe in God. Jesus' miracle is not for today or for themselves. But God wants to restore your heart. God wants to restore your faith. God wants to restore the church. God wants His Spirit to move and make us an empowered body. We often get the idea that we need Jesus to save us. We can live the Christian life in our own strength. That's why we often think that we get this idea that we're not making it in our own strength. But you know what? That's exactly what God wants. He wants us to come to the end of our strength so that we can start tapping into the beginning of His strength. And that's what happened. Philip tried to bring lunch to the 15,000 people. But Jesus showed him, you know what, you're coming to the, look at this, you have two fish and five loaves. Do you not understand what's happening? And they came to the end of their resources and they started to begin tapping into God's resources. I think that's pretty cool. Jesus said this, Mark 16:17-18. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In My name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will place their hands on the sick people and they will get well. Who said that? Anyone who said that? Jesus. Here's another Jesus. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father and I will do whatever You ask in My name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Well, as you study this whole idea of the power of God, it teaches us three truths. Number one, miracles are a sign. At the end of John's gospel, we learn that there was a selection process of the miracles. There were seven miracles he wrote, and we then hear what John said about miracles. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So those miracles aren't a party. Those miracles are not candy. They're a sign that there is a God and there is a Savior who operates in the spiritual realm and wants you to join him and to be part of what he is doing in this country or in this world. Jesus said that many other, I love that. Miracles are signs. Like I said, it's the word semion, which means a miracle with a meaning. Jesus did these things that so that people could see that they might understand and believe that which they could not see. Let me read it again. Jesus did things that people could see so that they might understand and believe that which they could not see. He does miracles because we don't have a clue for sometimes about the kingdom of God. People that are more interested in this world than in the kingdom of God, there's something going on that is blocking their heart and mind for seeing what the kingdom of God actually is. I don't believe any rational person who actually sees the things and the elements of the kingdom of God would ever turn their back and not say it. That's why we have to understand there are people that don't come are in bondage. And that one of the things we are called to do is to free them. They went out to preach the gospel and to free the people that were bound, the Bible says. That's pretty cool. You see, it's a sign. Miracles are a sign. When I went to Evangel University, my freshman year, I was driving my car, and the highway was pretty bad. It was the old 66, Route 66. We were driving on Route 66, and on the sign, they had a series of signs. There was one sign here, and there was the end of the sentence here, and another beginning of a sentence, and the end of that sentence, and you just had all these, and in the end, they had a bigger sign. They had a sign that was, you know, for that they finally said it. It started in the 20s, and it was a delightful thing. They were advertisements for a shaving cream called Burma Shave. Anyone ever hear that? If you're as old as me, you've probably heard of these signs. And here's what they said in Missouri. The first sign, a peach looks good. Second sign, with lots of fuzz. Third sign, but a man is no peach. Another sign, and never was. And then the last sign says, Burma shave. You had these signs leading you to the truth, leading you to what they were trying to get across. These signs captivated. These signs got into it. And as they got into it, they then find that it was for Burma shave. And it was a huge advertising. You see, the true faith must go beyond miracles, though, and go on to Jesus. These signs here that are like the signs of the miracles, they must push us forward in the direction of Jesus. We shouldn't go to the miracles and stay in the miracles. That is not a destination. It's simply a way that God shows you Jesus is still over here. It's a sign for us to go forward, not to camp out in that place. And so I pray that we will experience miracles in our life. But it would be disappointing that is as far as you can get, because we need to go beyond miracles and on to Jesus. Anyone say amen to that? We sing. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. You know what? If you are saved by Jesus and he is Lord, that's the miracle, him becoming Lord. You know, for him to become Lord, there's a bunch of battles going on in your life. For him to be Lord, your brain has to be transformed. For him to be Lord, your heart has to be transformed. For him to be Lord, your desires must change. How many want him to be Lord? But it takes a miracle for him to become the Lord of our life. It takes a miracle of love and grace. So look no farther. You are a miracle. Doubt keeps us from God's supernatural power. If miracles are signs, and I'm saying this because when Jesus got a hold of that bread and that fish, it wasn't just him going and leading them out to heal people. He was trying to expand the gospel by giving them word and power. He was wanting them to understand that we must go in word and power. And so what we have to understand in church, if we're just looking for the power, we're going to miss the power of the word. Now, Pastor Joe and Pastor Chris, they speak wonderfully. But you must digest the word so that that can change and shape your heart and make you what he wants you to be. Because he rules, he reigns, and his ways are right. You know, I have some more to say, but I feel this is the time that we have to go and seek God for a miracle. I feel that the Holy Spirit is drawing us to a place, is drawing us so that we can experience his power and his love and his person in our life. You see, Jesus wants to flow through you. Anyone say amen to that? So the fish came from the little boy. The little boy was willing to give everything. He was willing to give it all. That's a pretty cool kid. And then when they handed it to Jesus, that's when he broke it. Again, no one is used by God unless they are broken. No one is used by God unless they are broken. And that's when he fed them. And this miracle is one that Jesus, that sent the message of Jesus around their areas. You see, because God wants to do something powerful in us and through us. There's so many things I could say, but I believe you want and see. But just like this little boy who brought the lunch, and his disciples brought it to Jesus, they realized that God wanted to do something greater in their midst. How many want to see a miraculous outpouring in your life? How many want to do more than just come to church and hear the word? He wants to even go beyond coming to church, hearing the word, coming to the altar, going back home the same way you came, and you do it again the next week. God wants us to be transformed. And you know what excites me? Because when that happens, we will know him better and more fully. I will be filled with him and by him. He will fill my life in a greater way. How many want to be filled with Jesus? And that's what this miracle is teaching them. Because Jesus, he came and he did something greater, because it wasn't just enough for the disciples. The disciples were going to give it, go someplace else and tell them to go. But Jesus had something else in mind. How many of you know Jesus has something else in mind in your life? We are going back to New Jersey. We didn't have a place to move into. And so we moved back to New Jersey, and it was a tough thing. And it was a situation that it kind of was, as we drove all the way to New Jersey, it was a painful time. But as we got there, we're starting to see what God is putting together. You know what? I don't want to miss any part of it. It will be me teaching in a college. It will be us in the counseling and helping people and pastoring and just going to smaller churches and building them up so that they can be more powerful. You know what? You will go through something that you may think is a defeat, and Jesus is doing something greater. Amen? So stand with me. How many believe that miracles are for you? Just raise your hand. If you're here today and you need a miracle in your life, not something that's big and something that you could do by yourself if you wanted to. I mean something supernatural. You need God to do something. You've come to the end of your rope. And Jesus is here wanting to do the miracle for your life. So if you need and desire God to work in you, he can do a miracle. But he also wants to come and dwell in you. And if you want that for your life, I want you just to come down that aisle and stand here at this altar, because we're going to pray and lay hands on people so that they will see God move in a supernatural way. If you need a miracle like that, come and meet us at this altar right now. Hallelujah. 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 Keep coming. Keep coming. There's nothing to be ashamed of if you need God to do something supernatural. Keep coming. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for those that have been bold enough to come out of their seat and down to this altar. But Lord, I pray today that you will give them a holy boldness to go into the throne of God and say, God, I need a miracle. I can't do this. I'm at the end of my strength. I'm at the end of my wisdom. I'm at the end of my influence of my children. I'm at the end of my finances. I'm at the end of everything in my life. And so, Father, you see that heart of that person. May they see, first of all, that you know their hearts and you love them in their hearts, and that you will build their heart up. Because you do not want us for our hearts to remain heavy when we know who you are. If you live in us, our hearts cannot stay heavy. And so today, Lord, I pray for that kind of faith-building experience today. Raise them up so that they can see and call on your name. Lord, may we pray with others, because if two agree on anything, it shall be done. Lord, this church is filled with people who have been transformed out of drugs and alcohol and many different things. But Lord, you saved them to make them dangerous. Dangerous against devil. Danger against the spiritual darkness. Dangerous, Lord. And so I pray right now, these people that have come out of that type of a life, you will turn them around, and with that same passion, they will follow you in defeating the enemy's camps. And so, Lord, we pray for those that have marital issues, family issues, that have money issues. Lord, you can do all things. Nothing is impossible for God. There is nothing God cannot do. And so, Lord, it doesn't matter our state. You used a little boy who had 2 fish and 5 loaves. And if you could do it in a little boy's life, you can do it in every life that is at this altar. Lord, we don't have to be perfect to earn it. It is not something we earn. It is something you give to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put your hand on a person next to you as you're at this altar. And so we lay hands right now. We lay hands right now so that they will be changed. That they will throw down. Lord, we leave the bondages in our life at this altar. We tear them apart. They have no right being on us. And so, Lord, right now, I ask you to make every one of these lives a miracle. Lord, show us that you are naturally supernatural. Lord, that you are naturally supernatural, and that you rule, you reign, and your ways are right. And so, Lord, establish yourself in every life. May we not just play the game. May we not just come so that if the end of time happens, we'll make it to heaven. But Lord, we pray that warriors will be raised in this altar. We pray that people will become just dangerous for the kingdom of God. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Have a great day.